California, 3 October, 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that I am here, as I always will be, when the President of the United States or President Truman comes here to California to welcome him and to give him the welcome of the state of California. I hope you all do the same. Thank you.
Good evening, friends. I am State Senator George Miller, Jr., the chairman of the Democratic Party in the state of California. We have some... distinguished guests on the train with us here this evening, and I should like to present them. First, Mrs. Clara Scherzer, the National Committee Woman from California, Mrs. Clara Scherzer. And now, it is my pleasure to present to you the Democratic Attorney General of the state of California, the Honorable Edmund G. Pat Brown. Now I'd like to present to you Mrs. Pat Mosier, the Vice Chairman of the Women's Division of the California State Democratic Central Committee. And now, one of your friends and neighbors, one of your assemblymen from Sacramento County, who is the Democratic nominee for the Congress of the United States from this district, Mr. John Moss, Assemblyman John Moss.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is now my extreme pleasure to introduce the President of the United States.
Thank you very much. I want to say to you that I think you have one of the greatest governors in the United States, and he's always been my friend. And I have always been his, and I shall always be. I thank you most sincerely for the reception which you've given me. I appreciate it very much. You remember that I stopped here in June 1948. I was on a non-political trip then, on my way down to Berkeley to get a degree from the University of California. I understand that the Agricultural College of the University is located here, and that you do some very fine experimental work here. I know you'll contribute a great deal to the welfare and the prosperity of the farmers of California, and I want to compliment you for that. I wish I had time to get off the train and go and look at the farm where you carry on these experiments, because I'm still interested in farm progress. Now, you photographers don't do any shooting till I get through, and then you can do all the shooting you like. I get so I can't see when you place those things in my face. Maybe you'd like to do that, I don't know. If I could stay here a while, maybe we could work out some experiments on how to get the Republican Party to bring its policies on agriculture up to date. The Republican candidate for president made a speech a few weeks ago and said his farm activities belong to the day of the Percheron and the mule. I'm sure General Eisenhower is right about that, and his thinking on agricultural problems does not seem to have developed very much since that day. In fact, I don't believe that he or the Republican Party have had a constructive idea on farm policy in 30 years, and I know what I'm talking about. The Republican candidate said something else in that speech that amazed me completely. He said that our government's agricultural programs were brought into being on a nonpartisan basis. Now, I just want to read you a part of the record so you can see what this nonpartisan contribution by the Republicans was like. In 1933, you remember 1933, it's pretty tough on the farmers. House Republicans voted against the Agricultural Adjustment Act in a ratio of 2-1. That same year, they voted against TVA 8-1. In 1936, and I was in the Senate at that time, they voted against the Soil Conservation and Adjustment Allotment Act 3-1. In 1938, they voted against AAA, which is still our basic price support legislation, and they voted against it 5-1. In 1939, they voted against parity payments 7-1. In 1943, they voted to kill crop insurance 16-1. You remember that old ratio, don't you? California was interested in that at one time. The same year, they voted against expanding rural electric power facilities 3-1. In 1947, they voted to kill the Farm Ownership Program 8-1. That same year, they voted to kill the Agricultural Conservation Program 12-1. In 1948, they voted to triple the grain storage program, and they succeeded until the Democratic 81st Congress rescinded that action. In 1949, a majority of House Republicans voted against the rural telephone program, and they called it socialistic and a threat to free enterprise. That same year, they voted against price supports on perishables, 40-1. In 1951, they voted to cripple crop insurance 2-1. That same year, they voted against expanding rural electric power 9-1, and they also voted to cripple the conservation program. And only last July, a majority of the House Republicans voted against the amendment assuring price supports at 90% of parity for 1953 and 1954. Now they're claiming credit for that, although they voted against it. In the face of a record like that, how in the world can the Republican Party or its wonderful candidate claim credit for farm programs we have today? That's what I call trying to rewrite history for political purposes. I hate to think that the general was being deliberately dishonest. I don't think he was. I think it's more likely that he just didn't know what he was talking about. After all, why should he? He spent all his life in the Army. He doesn't know anything about farming at all. No reason why he should. But when he has a bunch of political snollygosters around him, giving him bad advice, he can't tell whether they're deceiving him or not. And I'll tell you, that's a mighty dangerous situation for the country to be in. I'm afraid it's true with respect to a lot of other subjects, as well as the farm problem. I don't believe you want to turn the country over to a combination like that. The thing for you to do, if you want a president who understands your problem and a government that is interested in your welfare, is to vote the Democratic ticket, and I think that's exactly what you're going to do, just like you did in 1948. For your own interest and for your own welfare and benefit, vote to send John Moss to the Congress. He's a good Democrat. He'll give you the kind of representative you ought to have. And then to top the thing off, in your own interest. Now, you're the government. You're the government. I've been going over the record. And if you go over the record, you'll find just exactly who's been the friend of the people. And it hasn't been the Republican Party at all. They never were the friend of the common people. You vote for yourselves. You vote for yourselves when you vote to continue good government. Vote for Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman, and the country will be in safe hands for the next 4 years.